Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and as people who've listened to this show even for a little while or maybe all the way back from the beginning must know, I'm a huge, huge theater fan. I've been a theater critic for almost 20 years. I've run a couple of theater websites. I co-publish a theater journal. Love plays and musicals and the whole thing, so it's always a thrill for me to talk to people involved in the theater, be they directors or producers, certainly playwrights, but also actors and actresses and singers. And so it's really exciting to be able to talk to my next guest on Dave's Gone By. This is a woman who has gotten two Tony nominations, one for one of the major musicals of the past decade or so, Daphne Rubin Vega, and of course you would know her probably best for the musical Rent, which was that extraordinary experience, first downtown off-Broadway, and then they brought it to Broadway where it's been playing and has become one of the longest-running musicals ever. Not only that, she's also been on Broadway in a Nilo Cruz play, Anna in the Tropics, which won the Pulitzer Prize. And now, Daphne's doing Les Mis, because they're bringing Les Mis back, and she's going to be playing Fantine. So, yes, we actually have a Broadway star on Dave's Gone By, and I'm so happy to welcome to the neighborhood Daphne Rubin Vega.
Yeah, I'm actually in the stairwell of the rehearsal space, so we've got good acoustics. Let's just hope a bunch of frolicking ballerinas don't come running down.
Well, they're welcome to come frolicking here anytime. I'd love to see bunches of frolicking ballerinas.
Where are you, by the way?
The station is in Babylon, Long Island.
Oh, okay.
So, technically it's in Freeport because the tower's there, but we're actually in bed. Don't even make me explain it. It's somewhere
Babylon.
In New York.
I like Babylon.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So you're from this area. You're come from around here or New Yorkish?
Yeah,
well,
I'm
Panama.
I hail originally from Panama, the country, and I grew up in actually the West Village. So I was Kitchen, and then we moved to the West Village when I was 11. So.
And the typical question then: at what point did you realize that what you wanted to do is what you are doing?
I think I always, as far as I can remember, wanted to do what I was doing, but I thought that everybody wanted to be some form of performer. I really did. I guess when I started to pick up a backstage and just go to auditions, and just try to get into anything, that's when I realized that I really wanted to do it.
Do you remember your first gig that you got as sort of a semi-adult, or?
Yeah, my first gig was a play called something like Dancing, something about dancing with her feet on her. I don't even remember the title, but.
And it lasted three performances in the... No.
It lasted like 2 weeks, and it was a very strange performance, strange play at the Ohio Theater in Soho.
Oh.
I remember my payment for the job was a Tibetan head, a wooden head that apparently hailed from Tibet as far as what the director told me. And I remember lugging that thing, carrying it home, and I still have it. It's quite an impressive piece.
It's a good totem. And so after getting through that experience, though, even though that was your only payment and stuff, you were hooked. You said, I still want to do this. I want to do more. And what was the first bigger kind of gig that you got?
Singing in Pajama Party. It was a girl group. Three girls, we sang the songs written by these producers, Peggy Senders and Jim Klein, and basically we were the warm bodies that performed the songs that they wrote. We did two albums on Atlantic. One of the girls, we went through maybe like six different girls. I was the only one who kind of stayed hung in there, but that was because I was so happy to be performing. I was choreographing. I was doing whatever, they wanted me to do, like pick out of, you know, as little as possible. You know, we were basically wearing glorified underwear.
I'm sorry I missed that. But you also, you had, I mean, not literally, but sort of a pair on you, because according to a bio I read on you, you were at a David Bowie recording session.
Yeah.
And Arif Martin was producing that, or he was
correct.
Involved?
Correct. He just recently passed away, sadly. Oh. But yeah, he ended up producing the Rent soundtrack, the original Broadway soundtrack. So, that was...
But you had met him...
Years earlier than that. I was hanging out with my very good friend, Mark Stevens. And I was doing homework. That's how long ago it was, because, God, it's been a while since I did homework. He called me and he said, my sister's at a recording session with David Bowie. And I was mad about David Bowie, and I was mad about his sister, who is Chaka Khan. And
Wait. What?
My friend's sister.
Oh, your friend's sister. I thought David Bowie's sister was Chaka Khan. I'm like,
that's genetically true.
Okay, just checking.
No, my friend's sister is Chaka Khan.
Oh, wow,
and
okay.
She was, you know, I thought she, you know, didn't get any better than Chaka, except for maybe David Bowie. So he's like, you know, Chaka's singing with David Bowie at this session, this recording session, and, you know, why don't you come hang out and watch? And so I just dropped everything and went over there, and it was an extravaganza of talent. It was Luther Vandross was there, Sissy Houston was there, Fonzie Thornton, who's like a serious session singer, was there. A lot of like amazing voices were there, and singing background for a soundtrack to a George Lucas film called Labyrinth.
Oh, right.
That David Bowie was in, and Arif was producing that. So I was sitting there basically with my completely slack-jawed and... I harnessed the pair and went up to Arif and said, please let me sing. You know, I just thought if I didn't ask, I would die. There are those moments in your life when you know you gotta... If you don't ask, you don't get.
Uh-huh.
And there was nothing I could lose, you know. And I mean, and so he gave me a pair of headphones, and I sang, you know, back in this room with all these heavy hitters. So I put that on my resume.
Well, yeah.
And then, actually, at another point in time, his son, Arif Martin's son, Joe, had a birthday, and I implicated myself into that party somehow, I guess, you know, through my friend Mark, and so we all sang happy birthday to Joe. So I wrote that I had sung with all these people, and when the producers of Pajama Party saw my credits, they hired me practically on the spot.
Wow.
So that's how that came about.
From singing happy birthday, it's excellent. Hey, Dave's Gone By listeners, if you like hearing me, you love reading me even more. So hurry and get my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, filled with hilarious plays that were performed in New York, like King Solomon the Wise and Blind Date. 232 pages of pure Dave. Only $20 hardcover, $12 trade paperback. To get your copy, call 516-295-1511 or visit the Dave's Gone By website. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. We are talking with actress Daphne Rubin Vega. She's in the new revival of Les Mis that is opening this week. You might also know her because she was in Anna in the Tropics, and she was Tony nominated for that. And of course, she received the Tony nomination for playing Mimi in the original cast of Rent. So let's talk to Daphne about that right now. Now, we gotta tell, I'm sure you've told it 4 million times, but gotta ask about the Rent story. And leading up to the opening night. Well, first of all, trying out for getting involved in the process of when that show was first being put together.
Yeah.
And then up until that extraordinary off-Broadway opening night.
Yeah. What part of it do you
want to
know?
All of it.
When I auditioned for Rent, I had been doing a show at Caroline's Comedy Club called El Barrio USA. It was like a Latino comedy troupe.
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting paid like $10, and we performed like every Tuesday night and just did these different skits. And I was terribly unfunny. I was there because I had been, Pajama Party was already an experience that had come and gone. We had done two albums, and we had one song called Yo No Sé, which was a marginal hit. I mean, it helped us pay the rent for a while.
Cool.
But then after two albums, kind of just waned. And I was doing this comedy show, and at the time I had a beeper. I remember the beeper. And my agent, I had an agent, and she called me and she said, there's a rock opera by the name of Rent, I want you to go in for it. And I was I was intimidated by singing a little bit. Even though I was a singer, I didn't want to mix music and acting. I thought that was sort of minimizing, diluting, bastardizing both genres. I was not a huge musical theater person. And I wanted to keep, my drama and my music, separate, because I thought that was more legitimizing. But then when she said that Rent was a modern take on La Bohème, and that Mimi, in this instance, was not like a consumptive seamstress, that she was a stripper with a stripper junkie with AIDS.
Yeah. aren't we all?
Yeah. Somewhere deep down, you scratch any one of us, and you'll find a Mimi. I said that just completely intrigued me. So I went for it, and I auditioned a couple of times. I think that my advantage was that I grew up with brothers who had a rock and roll band, so I was not afraid to sing rock and roll, which is what they wanted. I went in there singing Roxanne by the Police.
Oh, wow.
So they gave me
they put on the green
track.
Light. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
They put on the green light for it now. Yeah.
They put the green light on for me. They gave me a tape of Out Tonight. They told me to learn it and come back, and I did. And I think like the ripped fishnets and the super micro mini tartan skirt and the very East Village look helped me out, because that was part of my experience. I mean, I knew what it what it looked like to look like an East Village person, and not kind of fake it, which a lot of the kids were doing at the time, because they did come from a musical theater place, So I think that they considered me the real thing in the context of Rent.
Right.
I think I had an advantage, but I certainly didn't have to break my arm.
You were closer to it, yeah. But you were part of also, the musical wasn't, it was still in process while it was going on. So it wasn't just a set thing like going into a pre-written musical and it was all there.
No, it was a work in progress. I think that they weren't really sure. I think the original description of what they wanted for Mimi was a cross between Gloria Estefan and Sinead O'Connor. Does that make any sense at all?
Kind of does. Although that also crosses over into to Maureen in a kind of a way.
Yeah, I think that there were, they weren't sure. They had a basic sketches of what they wanted, but it was early workshop stuff. So we contributed greatly into the creation of the characters. I mean, when I went in 94, the workshop, there were songs that have since been cut. There are songs that one character had that, I ended up singing, and vice versa.
Oh, what song was that? What was the song?
Without You was a song between, I think, Joanne and Mark about Maureen.
Huh.
And they found it more appropriate for Mimi to be singing it and Roger to be singing it about each other. So, minutia like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's not minutia, actually. That was a big thing. there was a song that Mimi sang, that I sang, called Valentine's Day. There was, you know, beat me till I'm black and blue and gray. Draw a little heart, draw a little arrow, draw a little blood. For Valentine's Day, it was a little S&M-y kind of song. And it got summarily cut.
Oh, well, yeah. No, my wife and I are still singing on Valentine's Day. It's kind of a, you know, just a little, no, not true.
I know.
So that first, though, all right, I mean, I have to get, of course, to that opening night and the experience of what happened and what it must have felt like.
You mean the invited dress rehearsal?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, it's hard to put that in perspective because, you know, it was truly,
if people don't know, what happened was that the composer and the guy who created Rent died.
Jonathan Larson passed away. He went home after seeing the very first run-through of Rent, because we had never run it through with costumes and makeup before. It had always been done piecemeal because we were in the rehearsal process. And so the first invited dress rehearsal before opening, it was before we'd ever done it without stopping. And we actually threatened that if we needed to, we would stop, which is, you know, kind of standard when you're starting something. And it's, you know, technical, for technical purposes. And it was the first time we actually ran it through quite successfully. It was a magical experience. He was there to see that. And then after that, he had an interview with, I think, Anthony Tomasini from the New York Times, and he went home. He put on the pot of water to make some tea, and passed away. His heart exploded. We thought a couple of days prior that he wasn't feeling well, and he went to the doctor, and they thought that he had had food poisoning, and, you know, they weren't really sure what was going on, but he actually was suffering from an aneurysm in his heart, which they later found out that he had Marfan syndrome, which is not incredibly uncommon, but it is a detectable.
And it was, had they known that he had it in time, they could have treated it and they would have
tragically, that is the case.
And then you had to come back and do a show.
Idina Menzel called me the next day because I guess Jim Nicola, who was the artistic director of the New York Theater Workshop, had heard that Jonathan passed away. His roommate, Jonathan's roommate, came home and found him on the floor. And so Jim started calling all of us, and I guess he called Adina. Adina called me. We all went to the theater, and it was just devastating, you know, open, full-out tears and fear and concern about what we're going to do with this baby that we had and the helmsman missing. So,
Had it been like, oh, they're the ballerinas. They're
some Trina coming down. And so we decided to, that was the night we were supposed to open. We decided, like, out of respect to ourselves and the families, that we would continue and to Jonathan, and we would do a seated reading without costumes or makeup. We would just do a seated reading of the show, but by the time the second act came up, we were so pumped up and just channeling, you know, love. I think that, you know, I'll speak for myself, but I mean, actually, for all of us, we felt like ambassadors of this mission that was Rent, that it was a story about love, it was a story about friendship, harmony, and love. And so we were given it all that we had. By the second act, we put on our costumes and did it the way we were supposed to do it. It was a very magical experience because we felt that Jonathan was there, you know. I mean, when you have such an incredible sort of experience like that.
He's going to be there in spirit no matter
what. Yeah. I mean, we always sort of conjured him. It made us a little crazy for a while. I mean, I didn't know whether Rent was a success because it was really good. I mean, I thought it was good. I always loved it before Jonathan passed away. But I was a little wary of, you know, people's reasons for loving it.
Wanting to watch a
car crash or something.
By the time it got to Broadway, I assume there was no question then that people really wanted to see it for what it is. Now it's been there, what, 8 years, is it? Or
10
years, my goodness.
It's 10 years, yeah, it's amazing.
Would you ever, you're obviously doing so much other stuff, and of course I want to ask about Les Mis, but would you ever go back for a little period, or is that...
I might. But, Dave, you know what? I have to go back to rehearsal. Can we resume this? I really feel badly because I know that I was supposed to call you much earlier.
No, this is so... we'll do a part two. This will be like...
Can we do a part two?
Definitely part
one.
I can't do it today, but we can certainly do it another time.
Let's do. You have my number.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe this... Well, I don't know. Let's work on something.
We'll work it out, because this has been great fun. Daphne Rubin-Vega, best of luck with... You're playing Fantine in Les Mis, the revival coming to Broadway right now.
Yeah.
So everybody go see it. What are you rehearsing today, and then I'll let you go. What are you working on?
We're working on Act 2. I guess when I come back as a ghost, and we're going to finish up the show right now.
Oh, very well. Have a great rehearsal. Have a
Thank
great
you.
Show. Talk Thanks. To you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.